About the expertise of the gopis. We'll hear a little bit about that today, because that's one of these very rasic verses now, which I won't be able to elaborate on, because I don't have a lot of realization, putting it mildly. But let's hope we can churn some nectar today. So much to churn, right? Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya 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 Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Nitya Kala Kamanarya Bhuleki Premananda Bhakti Tattva Gyanam. O devotees, relish daily the nectar of Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita and the pastimes of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For so by so doing, you will enter into the full bliss and knowledge of pure devotional service. So we're in a very esoteric section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Lord Chaitanya is revealing, is it to Sanatana Goswami? I think it's, was it Rupa Goswami? Jerry, remember? I should have looked that up just last night, but that was just, the verses were so overwhelming that. So I had to spend some time looking at them and meditating on them and thinking, praying to Krishna, please, and take devotee time, please help me with it. He's revealing to him something. We heard something about the pastimes between the gopis. Do you know who the gopis are, Rebecca? Okay, I'll just give you a little idea. So according to, because every tradition has its very esoteric understanding of what really happens when you get to be with God. I mean, the general idea is that he's some patriarchal person who shows up when you're doing something wrong, right? That's an unfortunate understanding that's kind of spread in the world. But we weren't necessarily in this world very interested, but Lord Chaitanya said, you've got to get interested in this. It's really good for them. It's really nice. So according to what Lord Chaitanya came to teach, that if you have an intimate relationship with God, you can relate to him in many beautiful ways. Like in this world, you have someone who just loves to serve, like you heard of the domestic person who loves to please the master. Or you hear about the relationship of the parents to the son. So you can be a parent of Krishna, even, or God, in that mood. Or you can be a friend, like on equal terms. And this, what's being talked about here, is that one enters into a very intimate conjugal relationship with God. And of course, there are some conjugal relationships that we know this is married. And then there's other ones when you're with someone who's married, but you're not married to them. That's considered the most intimate. So this is very esoteric. And it's not like in the mundane world, if you do those things, you get in all kinds of trouble. In the spiritual world, if you get to have that loving relationship with Krishna, it's something very special. So we'll try to talk a little bit about that today. So there's two verses that I have to speak on, so I'll just read the first translation and then we'll chant the Sanskrit. So we've been hearing about the different kinds of feelings and experiences a person who is related to Krishna as a paramour has. So these are very hot. So Lord Chaitanya says, Urdgurna, unsteadiness, and vivasya chishta, boastful activities are aspects of transcendental madness. In separation from Krishna, one experiences the manifestation of Krishna and one thinks oneself to be Krishna. So we know that when the gopis were dancing with Krishna in the Rasa Lila, first of all, he left them and they all went a little bit crazy. So one of the things that happened to them in their madness of the anxiety, the blissful anxiety of separation from Krishna, they started acting like they were Krishna. Remember reading that? At one point they said, they were saying, one was saying, I'm Krishna and I'm going to stop this Indra from flooding Vrindavan. And another one was holding up Govardhan Hill. And another one was pretending to crush the demons. So of course that may be hard to relate to, but let's try to get some kind of frame of reference from our own life so that we can give it a place. What else can we do? I mean, we can't equate it with that, but we can try to glimpse it. I was just thinking, like, maybe we've all gone to movies or dramas that we really identified with the person in the movie or the drama, and what you really identify with what happened to them. You think like them while the drama is going on, the movie is going on, so you feel like you're them, kind of, right? You get right into it. Or I can tell another more personal experience in that regard. When I was a child, we used to watch Roy Rogers. There was Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. Does anybody remember them? That's very Canadian, very American. Anyway, they were a couple, like a cowboy couple. She was married to Dale Evans, to Roy Rogers. But I thought I was Roy Rogers. I didn't think I was Dale Evans. And Roy Rogers was kind of half Aboriginal, you know, First Nations Indian. And he had his eyes like this, and I'd walk around like this. And I'd be in a whole meditation that I was him. That's rather childish. But I was just trying to, when the gopis, they loved Krishna so much, and when they were missing him, they would just think of him so much so that they would think and act like him, because that's just how attached they were to him. Or sometimes in this world, we know of someone that we love who has had a very wonderful experience, right? And we just imagine how wonderful they must be feeling right now, and we're so happy. And on the other side, when we know that someone we love is suffering, then so that way we get into their skin kind of thing. So the gopis, Krishna doesn't have skin. Krishna, according to Shri Upanishad, is the self-sufficient philosopher who has no veins. And he's been awarding everyone's desires since time immemorial. Oh gosh, this must be hard for the German devotees. Can you understand anything, Alexander? Can you understand anything? Okay, how about Kabul?
Yes,
a little bit?
Okay. Yes,
your English is quite good then?
Yes.
Okay, good. I don't like that people sit here thinking, what the heck she's talking about? I don't want to waste your time. Okay, so then the next verse we'll chant is Sanskrit. So look, I found the Sanskrit, not Sanskrit, it's Bengali. A little difficult to get a meter, but what we'll do is once in a while I'm going to skip an ah at the end, because I think in Bengali sometimes they do that. They don't pronounce every ah at the end, just to make the meter possible, okay? Sambhoga viprulamba bedi drivita shingara.
Sambhoga viprulamba bedi drivita shingara.
Sambhogirananta anganahiyantatara.
Sambhogirananta anganahiyantatara.
Okay, so the word for word, sambhoga.
Sambhoga.
Of meeting.
Of meeting.
Enjoyment together.
Enjoyment together.
Vipralamba.
Vipralamba.
Of separation.
Of separation.
Bhede. In two divisions.
In two divisions.
Trivida Shringara.
Trivida Shringara.
Two kinds of conjugal love.
Two kinds of conjugal love.
Sambhogera.
Sambhogera.
Of the stage of Sambhoga or meeting.
Of the stage of Sambhoga or meeting.
Ananta Anga.
Ananta Anga.
Unlimited parts.
Unlimited parts.
Nahi.
Nahi.
Not.
Not.
Anta.
Anta.
An end.
Tara.
Of that.
Of
translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So Chanya is telling, it's either Rupa or Sata. I believe it's Rupa. In conjugal love, that's the love, the intimate love between Krishna and Radha, who was the feminine counterpart of Krishna, and her associates, but mostly with Radha, because they all assist Radha and Krishna in their enjoyment. In conjugal love, Shringara, there are two departments, meeting and separation. On the platform of meeting, there are unlimited varieties that are beyond description. So we've heard a lot about separation. One time Yadunandana Swami was giving a beautiful lecture in our Srimad Bhagavatam, our Bhaktivedanta, and he said this: union, separation and union are like the heartbeat. it's inseparable. The heart has to go like, otherwise we don't live. So the love, any love, and especially the love between Radha and Krishna, is like the heartbeat. There has to be separation to nourish union, and there has to be union to nourish separation. I mean, that's what they're into. They're into love, so maybe know how to do it. It's beautiful. So then, Prabhupada's giving the purport. Maybe you can repeat the verse just to keep it in mind. In conjugal love, Shingara,
there are two departments,
meeting and separation. On the platform of meeting,
there are unlimited varieties
that are beyond description.
Anyway,
I'm going to try to describe and give a little note. Last week we heard from Irmala, and Irmala was really going into what the different kinds of separation. She was touching the ocean. So now we're going to hear a little bit about the union when Krishna comes together with Radha. Vipralamba is described in the Ujvala Nilamani, Vipralamba Prakarana, 3-4. So we'll just try to read a little bit of this. You know Ayuktayor Bhavo, Yuktayor Vata Yomita, Abhishtalim Ganadinam Anavato Prakrishate, Savipulambo Vigaya. And I'm not getting it, but this is actually Sanskrit.
How did you, when we chant the Bhagavad Gita?
Dehinas Nidaya. Savipulambo Vigaya, Sambo Ganati Karaka. Navina Vipralambhena Sambhoga Pushtim Ashnute. When the lover and the beloved meet, they are called Yukta. Remember Yukta? Yoga means connection. Or connected. Previous to the meeting, they are called Ayukta, not connected. Whether connected or not connected, the ecstatic emotion arising due to not being able to embrace and kiss each other, as desired, is called Vipralamba. Gopis were thinking that Krishna's flute, which is only a bamboo rod, is always getting kissed by Krishna's lips, and that just was not fair. This Vipralamba helps nourish emotions at the time of meeting. Similarly, Sambhoga is described in the following verse, quoted from the Vedic literature by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is Prabhupada, and his spiritual master is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Darshanalinganadinam anukulyanishevaya yunard ulasam arohan bhava sambhoga iryate.
Meeting each other and embracing each other are aimed at bringing about the happiness of the lover and the beloved. When this stage becomes increasingly jubilant, the resultant ecstatic emotion is called Sambhoga. When awakened, Sambhoga is divided into four categories. Okay, bear with us, this is a little technical. Okay, so Purvaraga Anantara. After Purvaraga, which means you hear attachment prior to meeting, Sambhoga is called brief or Sankshipta. So example could be that when we go back to this, when we get our opportunity to develop our love for Krishna, we go to a special place where we can hear about Krishna. And when we hear about Krishna, we get attached to the idea of being with Krishna, and then we meet Krishna. So that's considered kind of a brief meeting because it's very intense, but there are even more intense meetings. And the next one is called Mana Anantara. After mana or anger based on love, Sambhoga is called encroached, Sankirna. So we know there's many, well, just in this world there's anger between lovers, and when they get back together again they get pacified, and this is also a regular occurrence between Radha and Krishna. I gave you that nice picture where Radha really is and get Krishna, because he was supposed to come and didn't come, and he was probably someplace else that she wouldn't like that he would be. This is all transcendental spiritual things. I'm sorry, this topic may be a little esoteric, but that's what the verses are about today. I'll try to give them a little bit of a place more in our more traditional understanding that might be easier for us to grasp. And then there's Kinship Dura Pravasha Anantara. After being a little distance away for some time, Sambhoga is called accomplished Sampana. So it seems that it's also kind of, you've been a little distance away and finally you get to be back with Krishna again. So that's a little, that's called, you've accomplished it. But then when the fourth kind that's described are Sudura Pravasa Anantara. After being far away, Sambhoga is called perfection. Samvittiman. The meeting of lovers that takes place in dreams also has these four divisions. So you can see that the art of love between Radha and Krishna is very, very highly developed. It isn't something of this world. So I'd like to try to give this a place in, like yesterday you were talking about a Christian parallel to Trinada Pisami Chena. It's funny because this morning's, we have this little book that you can look every day, there's a new saying by Prabhupada. And the book was saying this morning that something to that effect, that the perfection of your Krishna consciousness is tested when you have to undergo difficulties, how you respond, that will determine the perfection of how much you have Krishna's shelter, how much you realize that you love Krishna and that Krishna loves you. Just like when a person is in love, all kinds of things can happen, but they're like in another world, right? So when you actually experience Krishna's love, you're always in another world, even though you may be functioning in this world. We heard about that in Bhagavad Gita class the other night. So in this world, not in this world, but in other traditions in this world, this kind of love is being hinted at. So I have a friend, and her name is Kumari Priya, and I'd like to read you something from an essay that she wrote that compared the love of another great saint named Mirabai with the love of Saint John on the cross, the writings that they both wrote. So Mirabai says, she's not really in our tradition exactly, but she's in the Vaishnava tradition. But how many of you have heard of St. John of the Cross in Christian tradition? Huh? Hands up? Okay, so he was a great saint who during his time, he understood something about this intimate love between God and the soul in the relationship of parama or conjugal love. But at that time, he would write some prayers and people would read them, and they came into the hands of the Inquisition. You've heard of the Inquisition? And he was from Spain, and it was the worst in Spain. They really tortured their people if they thought they were doing something weird. So he was actually being tortured, and the more they tortured him, the more he went into a spiritual realization. And before they almost killed him, he managed somehow to get out. But he equated that with the escape of the soul from material bondage and going into realization of the loving relationship between the soul and God. And his relationship with God was that of one of a, he was the lady and the Lord was his lover. Wow, that's really beautiful. Okay, so this is a little description of comparing Mirabai's path, which is also a mode of separation from Krishna. And she was this man who's an author said that her path was pathless. She didn't know how to get to Krishna. She knows she wanted to get to Krishna, and initially it seemed to lead one into darkness, right? Because she couldn't find Krishna. She was always feeling separation from Krishna. And John the Baptist also talked about the dark night of the soul, feeling so much separation from Krishna. Of course, in our tradition, the sense of separation is considered even, in love of Krishna, is considered even more exalted. St. John, he talked a lot about he wrote a very special poem about his final, he got to meet with Krishna, or with his lover who is God. So I'd like to read that to you because it's very much shows what he could experience and what Lord Chaitanya is just giving to us freely. He shared his experience. So I'd like to read it, which is very beautiful, so please try to pay attention. One dark night, fired with love's urgent longing, he was on fire with love. And he said, this is was sheer grace. It was a gift from the Lord that he could feel so much love. He says, I went out unseen, that my house was now all still. Right? He's talking about his body at this point. His body no longer could give him trouble. In darkness and secure, by the secret ladder disguised, the sheer grace, in darkness and concealment, my house was now all still. On that glad night, in secret, for no one saw me, nor did I look at anything with no other light or guide than the one that burned in my heart. This reminds me of the women, the gopis of Vrindavan, when they heard the flute of Krishna, they ran to Krishna, and no one saw them. They didn't see anybody else. They were thinking that they were going. Their earrings were swinging back and forth. And Prabhupada said that apparently each gopi went secretly, hoping to avoid advertising the fact that she was running to Krishna for romantic affairs. And the song of Krishna's flute entered through the ears of the gopis and into the inner treasure of their hearts. And thus they went forward, each unknown to the others. So St. John the Baptist also went to the Lord, unknown. And he said that this light that was burning in his heart guided him more surely than the light of the midday. And he said, that's what the Lord, that the light guided me to where the Lord was waiting for me. I knew him so well, and there in a place where no one else appeared. O guiding night. So this is when we're not alive to this world, we're in a darkness kind of to this world. But oh, that guiding night, which is more lovely than the dawn, this night has united the lover with his beloved, transforming beloved in her lover. Upon my flowering breast, which I kept wholly for him, alone, there he lay sleeping, and I caressing him. So then she was speaking, she, and her identity as soul, was speaking how she touched the Lord, and just touching his hair, but then a beautiful breeze came and touched the back of the neck of the lover. And this soul, she abandoned her, she went out of herself, out of her body, and she only put her face on her lover, and then everything else was finished. And all the cares were gone, forgotten among the lilies. So this was a meditation of someone who had felt great separation from the Lord and then was finally united. Can you imagine the separation he felt when he was not allowed to practice his tradition and he was being tortured physically by those who were supposed to be his friends, his other people in the same religion? And the gopis also had some of the gopis also had the same experience because their family would not let them go see Krishna. So they had to go into their heart to see Krishna. Because their agony, they had felt so much agony and separation from Krishna, and it burned away all the possibilities of keeping them away from Krishna. So they went into their heart and they meditated upon Krishna. And by his embrace, they felt so much ecstasy that they didn't care about anything pious material. There was nothing in this material world that could attract them anymore. So we heard from the descriptions of Lord Chaitanya, union and separation from Krishna, union and separation, separation and union. And it may all seem far away from us, but in this world, there's such a hankering for love, and that love, in its most intense form, takes the shape of the sex attraction, which makes people crazy in this world. And when I first heard that it was possible to love Krishna purely in that same way, I thought, that's it. That the reason why people are acting so crazy in this world because of sex attraction is because It actually is present in God in its pure ontological form. But the only problem is people don't know this, and so in that they're getting bewildered in this material world. It was such a relief for me. I'm so happy to know about it. I can't go there now because I'm not pure enough to go there, but it's so attractive, it's worshipable. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said in one of his I think it was a poem, he said that we can hear about these pastimes sometimes, and but not all the time because we may not be qualified. I know I'm not qualified, but this is the verse that I was asked to speak on, so it helped me to think about these wonderful things that St. John of the Cross experienced and shared with the world. And Lord Chaitanya is flooding the world with this as much as we're ready to receive it. And even if we cannot experience it fully all the time, we can meditate that someday, one fine day, we'll be able to go there. And in the meantime, we perform our duties as best as we can. We try to purify our existence. We heard a verse in the Bhagavad Gita the other night that a person who cares about their spiritual life, they act only for the purpose of purification. So yes, in one sense this has nothing to do with this world, but because we have no other frame of reference, we have to try to connect it to something that we understand in this world, that all that intensity and playfulness and intimacy, emotional intimacy between lovers in this world is present in our relationship with God in a much more wonderful way. And it's not disturbed, but like it is in this world, by death or by so many other things that disturb what we call love in this world. And still, even though we suffer so much in this world because of the attraction, still people find it so irresistible because they don't know that if you have that relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world, then you'll have uninterrupted, ever-increasing happiness. And you can't compare it to the happiness in this world because it's beyond. And what's really wonderful about what Lord Chaitanya taught is that we don't necessarily want to interact with Krishna directly in that way, but we want to assist the relationship between Radha and Krishna in that way. That's why the service attitude was taught so strongly by Lord Chaitanya, because the tendency to want to enjoy is so strong. So we don't want to enjoy with Krishna, we want to serve Krishna's enjoyment and Radha's enjoyment. Just like in this world, people will start looking at he died. In this world, people will do anything, and they do anything, to try to enjoy their senses with a member, a sexual relationship. But in the spiritual world, people will do anything to try to increase the happiness of the meeting and separation of Radha and Krishna. And when a person becomes very advanced in spiritual life, they don't ever think of how they can enjoy themselves. They always think of how they can increase the pleasure of the Lord and His devotees. So this is what, and then that enjoyment that the Lord has is very detailed. It's not a small thing. Of course, in this world we learn to sacrifice, which is a great, if we can learn to sacrifice properly, it's an immense pleasure. So we get a taste of that selfless enjoyment in this world. And then Krishna will reward us with more and more knowledge of how to love and how to assist in loving relationships. And that's what Lord Chaitanya wants us to know.
And that's why the song we hear, that if he hadn't come, who in this universe would have ever learned about the topmost limits of loving mellows that comprise the glory of Sri Radha? And the expertise of the gopis who will help in that loving affair, no one would have known. But Lord Chaitanya, he came and he told everybody. St. John knew it, and he experienced it wonderfully, but only a few people even the people of his own time thought he was something other than what he was. Of course, Lord Chaitanya understands that it's a great risk to tell us these things because we can easily misunderstand them. And that's why he sent the great acharyas to make sure that we didn't misunderstand it. So we're very, very, very fortunate. So thank you all for listening patiently. If anybody would like to make a comment or a correction or
share a realization, ask the question, maybe we can see what we can do here. Any thoughts, realizations, questions, comments, corrections? Yes, Prabhu Jerry.
When you are speaking about the jhanas of the crowd.
I need you to speak a little louder.
You speak about jhana of the crowd.
Yes.
And that you have this female feeling for God.
Yes.
In the scriptures, I think it's mentioned that when you go back to the spiritual world, you are female.
Yes.
And it's very special that he has this really beautiful experience.
Yes. Did you want to say something more about that?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting because we've been hearing also in a seminar lately from David Mahaji that it's natural for ladies, if they know how to deal with their feminine energies properly and not compete, but actually understand expertly how to serve and be the auspicious source of energy in this world for men. In other words, instead of making men depressed and angry, if we know how to inspire them, and everybody will become more and more happy, right? So in the spiritual world, everyone has that feeling for Krishna, that they want to inspire Krishna and increase his ocean of happiness, if that's possible, they think, and it is possible. So it's actually quite an amazing feat to be able to do that, and that's what every devotee wants to do, even though sometimes a devotee may be the father, or maybe the boyfriend of Krishna that goes out hurrying out. But the mood is always feminine in the sense that it wants to be an auspicious source of energy for the Lord. So, and then, of course, that manifests in the most, what could be called the most complete way in the gopis. Yes, it's very special. Extremely special. Yes, the way?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very interesting lecture. I would like to ask, oftentimes it is talked about what various types of relationships devotees or the soul, the jiva has with Krishna. But maybe you could say a few words about various relationships the soul has also with Srimati Radharani. Mm-hmm. She also has parents, as I understand, friends,
right.
Servants. It's sometimes I feel it's a topic that maybe even sometimes even devotees avoid in some sense.
The devotees avoid?
Yeah, that's sometimes I have this impression. I don't know.
Well, if you remember, even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami avoided mentioning her name. He hinted at it. He said, Aratita. Aratita means she was the best servant. Radha means the best servant. So devotees are careful because they feel that they don't want to make a mistake in talking about Srimati Radharani because her love for Krishna is so exalted that if you make a mistake, it can be considered an offense. So, and Prabhupada did, and he encouraged us to be very cautious also on speaking about Radha's relationship with Krishna and our ability to serve her. But one thing that we can be very happy about knowing is that there is everyone in the spiritual world is more or less serving Srimati Radharani. At least in Braj, because Radha is the embodiment of pure devotional service. Maybe someone else has something more they can say about that.
I was thinking, like, even our family members, you know, they were all kind of, everybody is always trying to get Radha and Krishna together.
Yeah.
So the mother kind of liked Krishna. Her friends, they were trying to help her be beautiful for Krishna. So even though they were linked to Radha Radha, basically their service was still for the relationship of Radha and Krishna.
Right. Yes, Yashomati, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I just wanted to highlight that this the kind of devotion that we learned about between Mirabai and Radha. Because whenever in Bengal I've seen, whenever a girl gets interested in knowing about Krishna, the question is, like a little sarcasm probably there, but do you want to be Mira or do you want to be Radha? You know, so that's the question.
Do you want what?
Do you want to be Mira or do you want to be Radha?
Oh.
Okay. So it's a very subtle difference in the kind of devotion.
Yes.
And I don't know, but there are beautiful, many, many unparalleled bhajans written by Mirabai. they are absolutely gems.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the translated forms, if you, you're the best person to kind of, you know, transmit, but it shows the immense desire to be one with the Lord. But you know, there are these lines where she says that, you know, that even when Krishna gives her poison, she just drinks it happily because she knows nothing will happen to her. But it's more of so there is this devotion is a little different from Mirabai, but it's
yes.
Also as strong as Radha's, but a little different.
Well, the love, and this is why we do not consider, although everybody in our, you know, movement in progress says she's a very great devotee, and not to be, in, you know, but the point is that in our tradition, we don't compete with Radha. She competed with Radha. And in the spiritual world, there's also Radha, there is a competitor of Srimati Radharani. Her name is, Chandravali, and is she a sister or a cousin or something?
Sister.
She's a sister of Radharani.
Both.
Okay.
Sister.
She's a sister and a cousin and a competitor of Srimati Radharani. So this is also to enhance the intensity of the love between Radha and Krishna. So the competition, this is how our Gaudiya Vaishnava line.
But the way we learned was there was no competition because they are so different. Like the nature of desire or devotion is very different. So the question was always like, do you want to be Radha or do you want to be Krishna? So even in our other songs, even Bollywood songs,
yeah.
You know, this is a very, in one song there is this, you know, the differences are really explained very beautifully. It's very subtle. But
yes. Well, the different more, from what I understand, Chandravali is very submissive. And Radha is not necessarily so submissive. It's different moods. It's, like you said, it's quite subtle. So in our tradition, we don't serve Mira. We serve Radha. Because there is competition according to our understanding. And that competition is not something to be mistaken with material competition. Ultimately, it's all meant to enhance the love between Radha and Krishna. That's the understanding that Prabhupada and our acharyas have given us. So I mean, I cherish also like the love that Mira has for Krishna. It's so beautiful, but at the same time, she's not in our line. So as far as, it's very interesting, there was this essay that my friend Kumari Priya wrote, and she ended her essay. This essay got her into Oxford, by the way. She said, this author, Schelling, describes Mira's path as the primary religion, and John says that the soul counts herself, immeasurably blessed to have walked through the dark night. From this we can infer that since the path of separation from God as the beloved, traversed by John and Mira, does not lead to peace, perhaps it leads to something higher than peace. Perhaps the painful yet real separation is strangely more sweet and delicious to the soul than a standardized union. It represents a struggle, not a victory, but this struggle is the greatest victory for the soul. So in this world especially, our greatest victory is if we can enter full-heartedly into our struggle to unite with the Lord in love, and specifically to unite with His servants in their quest for love. And if we can actually do that, then we will rise above any adversity in this world. And the proof that we have risen above adversity, that we are on advancing on that level of love, is our ability to tolerate adversities, because they actually become more and more insignificant for us. You see? So that's not an artificial biting the bullet and telling, no, it's like, oh, the suffering is there, but it's so insignificant compared to this feeling of this intensity that I want to serve Krishna and Krishna's servants. Actually, the Lord told that to Narada Muni, because the Lord appeared to Narada Muni and he can only see the Lord for a moment. And then the Lord disappeared. He said, you won't see me again in this lifetime, but your anxiety to see me will free you from all material anxiety. So this is not an easy path. But is living in the material world easy? Is always being anxious about material circumstances and material desires is not an easy life, and it just keeps leading one into more and more difficulty and more entanglement in the material world. But if one is able, if one is willing and able, by the mercy of the devotees and one's own sincerity, to enter into the quest, the anxiety, to deepen one's relationship with the Lord and his pure souls, pure devotees, one is willing to take that anxiety on, and that's the ultimate victory for the soul. And that's why we hear about these things that go on between God and Krishna, and between separation and union, just to give us a little taste that there is something much, much higher that we're seeking for. So thank you all for your enthusiastic contributions. I apologize if I made any mentions to anyone, because I don't know anything really about this, but I like it very much.
Jai Prabhupada
Ki Jai. Jai Prabhupada Ki Jai.